How y'all doing? It's a first day of the time change. It's quite different. I'm glad a friend of mine, I had my alarm set for 6 this morning because I knew about the time change, and I shut my alarm off, and a friend of mine texted me. That was a pastor from Orange, Brownwood Baptist Church in Orange, Texas, and sometimes I go supply for him. And I'm glad he texted me because I thought I'd lay in bed about 15 or 20 minutes, but he texted me and woke me up, so I was grateful for that. I hadn't told him that yet, because I always brag I get up at 5:30, but I have to get used to this time change. Well, congratulations, 1 week that you're married. I'm very, very happy. And look, 7 days you was happy and at least 5 she was. That must have been the 2 days you thought you was right, huh? Yeah. Yeah, let's go to the Lord in prayer, because especially for the decision that will be before y'all in the church going forward. Our Heavenly Father, at this time we bow to you in humble adoration, and we know, Lord, that you're going to lead. It's by your hand, by your mind, by your soul, by your spirit, the Holy Spirit that you sent down, Lord, that will lead this church in their vote next Sunday for Pastor Steve James as interim. Heavenly Father, guide them in their prayers and in their thoughts and in their communications. And Heavenly Father, most of all, fill this pastor and this church with your Holy Spirit, as you always do, as I've witnessed, Heavenly Father, that this church, your building can move forward under this direction if they so vote. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray, amen. After Rita, we lost our house, of course, down in Cameron for Rita, and I went and joined Trinity Baptist Church, and Brother Steve James was a pastor there then. I can say that he's a very excellent pastor. He knows how to pastor a church, not just preach. He's a very excellent preacher, but he also knows how to pastor a church. Like you know, that's a big difference. That's a big difference. I want to tell you something, though. God's gave me the opportunity to go and fill the pulpit or supply preach at many, many different churches, quite a few, several different churches, I would say, in Southwest Louisiana and even into Texas a little bit. And I appreciate that opportunity. But I think that I have preached here more than, supplied here more than any other one. And I want to tell you, I count it as a privilege and an honor and a wonderful opportunity that I got to be here and meet most of you. I know most of you, or a lot of you, and I want to thank you very much for having me. That was great news. And unless the Lord comes back or something drastic happens, I'll be here when in your time of need if you need me again. But look, this church is going to move forward. God's going to have his hand on it as he has. Thank you for that. Can you turn with me to Joshua 22:5? Joshua 22:5. I'll get that turned also. In 2024, in Louisiana, we've seen a new governor take office. And he went in a different direction than the previous governor. And in 2025, we've seen a new president take office for a second term, although it wasn't consecutive. It was also going in a different direction. In the Bible, especially more pronounced in the Old Testament, we've seen changes in leadership and power many, many different times. And so this is nothing new from the beginning of time. We didn't see here that Moses turned over leadership to Joshua before they entered the Promised Land. Now, I want to draw your attention to something special. Especially that Joshua told the people, and I'll explain that in just a minute, while they was delivered to the promised land. Only in 22 and 5 in Joshua, only be very careful to observe the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cling to him and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. The title of today's sermon is One God, One King. It could also be titled Obedience Through Love, or Love Through Obedience. Joshua here was talking to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and they were being sent to the land that was promised to them by the Lord because they had kept his commandments. Yet verse 5 gives them a very clear warning and direction. This was to observe the commandments and the laws that were given them. But more importantly, the laws exist to love the Lord your God, to cling to his ways, and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. The first king of the Bible was Saul, and then there was David, and then there was Solomon. But listen to this. This is there was 39 kings in the Bible. Now, we know that the period of kings come after the period of judges. There was 39 kings in the Bible. There was 19 kings in Israel, and there was 20 kings in Judah. Of all those kings, there was only eight kings that walked to the way of the Lord. And they was all in Judah. There was none in Israel that walked in the way of the Lord. You may ask yourself, why and how could God's chosen people be so misdirected? To answer that, we go back to the period of Judges. I need you to turn with me to 1 Samuel 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3 and 4. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3 and 4. Give y'all a minute to get there. I'm giving you a history so you can see the end of what God gave me. I asked God to give me a sermon because when I left here last week, I didn't have one. I told you that maybe we need something from heaven every day. It might be the title of the next sermon. Well, that's not the way God led me. I started typing and I couldn't quit. We go back 400 years, to a period of about 400 years, and during this time the Israelites went in and out of servitude to the Lord. They were serving idols rather than the Lord. Now that along came this, what was going to be a prophet and a judge named Samuel. Now Samuel was born to Hannah. Hannah was barren, so she dedicated Samuel's life to serve the Lord because God blessed her with a son. So Samuel was raised by Eli in the Shiloh temple. He was a prophet and a judge. So let's read Samuel 3 and 4. Let's see what Samuel's saying to the people. He says, "And Samuel said to all the house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you and direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord only. During this time, before Samuel told them to worship the one true God, they were worshiping false gods. You often heard me say there's only one God, all the rest of them are false. So I won't call another God that's not God, I won't call them a god, they're a false god. They forsook God. They served Baal, a false god of fertility and rain, and they served Ashtaroth, a false goddess who was known as the Queen of Heaven. Well, you know, in the Bible doesn't say anything about a king, queen of heaven. It only refers to the King of Heaven, which God Almighty. So that would have been false. So like verse 4 says, the people of Israel put away their false gods and they served one true God. Now, Samuel had two sons at least, and they did not walk in the way of the Lord. So Samuel was aging. I think Samuel was born, lived to about 90 years old. You can check that out. I think he was about 90 years old. He was aging by this time, and the elders went and asked Samuel to supply them with a king, with a ruler. They didn't have a king before because this was the time of what? This was the time of judges. So they asked him to supply them with a king. Well, this displeased Samuel. And so he went and prayed to God, just like you're going to pray this week about Brother James. So he went and prayed to God, and God says, no, give them a king, but warn them what's going to happen. God's a God that lets you have your free will, but he also advises you of consequences that's going to happen if you go against his will. Remember, we said before that you can't, God doesn't come to you on your terms. You come to God on his terms. It doesn't work on our terms. So Samuel told them, he will take your sons, and he will appoint them to run before his chariots, and he will appoint himself commanders, and some to plow the ground, and some to reap his harvest, and he will make you your sons implements. He will make you implements of war. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers, and he will take the best of your fields and your olive gardens and vineyards, and he will give them to his servants. And what you have left, he will take a tenth of that. So on and on and on is what the king was going to do. But no, they said, we want a king like other nations have a king. That's what we want. They said we want, not what God wants. So there was a king that was appointed to them. Well, it didn't work out so well, and what happened was exactly like what God said was going to happen, like it always does, huh? Well, besides Joshua and Samuel, I want to read what one more person said about obedience to God's command. I want to read what Jesus Christ said, God's only begotten Son, the second part of the Holy Trinity, God the Son. If you will, turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, and we're going to be reading 15, verse 15. John 14, verse 15. And Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And verse 15 of chapter 14. Now, that's not like a friend saying to you, I'm only going to be your friend if you do things my way. That wasn't the same thing. You got to understand that when Jesus gives his commandments and God gives his commandments, it's because he loves us, just like your children. Just like when you say, don't stick your finger in the fan. Don't put your hand on top of the stovetop and things like that. God gives us our commandments because he loves us, not I'm only going to be your friends if you do what I say. That's not what Jesus was saying, because this is when Jesus was preparing his disciples for the fact that he was going to his Father. Jesus told his Father that Jesus told his disciples he would ask the Father, and the Father would send them the Holy Spirit. I preached on that one time here before. And his Holy Spirit would be with them always. And his Holy Spirit is with us today, right here, sitting right here with us. This is who guides us, and he talks to us today. Now, in Jesus' day, God talked through Jesus, because we're going to see that in just a minute. God talked through Jesus, and we know that. Okay, we don't have anybody physically that God is talking to, like Jesus Christ, of course, but we have the Holy Spirit talking through us, through all of you, not just preachers and not just deacons, but through all of you that the Holy Spirit guides to talk and to witness for you. And God would send them the Holy Spirit, and they would be with him always. And in verse 10 of John 14, it says this. It says that, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. I want to tell you something in talking to you. There's many of you here today that God has worked through. Sitting right here in God's house has had allowed the Holy Spirit to work through. Just like what Jesus said. Can you imagine? In you, God does his work. His Holy Spirit comes down and you listen to his Holy Spirit, and in you, God has worked. Isn't that something? Right here, the Holy Spirit. John 15, go to the next chapter over, John 15 and turn to 14. 15 and 14. He said, you are my friends if you do what I command you. This was preceded by verse 13 that says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. That's what kind of friends Jesus was talking about. Because why did Jesus say that? He knew what was fixing to happen. You are my friends and I'm laying down my life for you. You are Jesus' friends once you accept him as your Savior. He's your friend. And he goes on to say it's much more than a servant, because a servant doesn't really know what his master is going to do next. But Jesus told his disciples, everything that the Father has told me to tell you, I have told you. I have shared with you. I want you to be with me. I want us all to be on the same page. Now, of course, we can't know everything that God knows, but God wants us to understand everything that we're capable of he's capable of revealing to us, that we're capable of understanding. And that's why he wrote the word. And that's how come he wants us to pray with him and have fellowship. Through this, we grow, and he keeps on revealing stuff to us. And when they say that God is mysterious, it's not that he wants to be mysterious and hide things from us. It's that we there's a lot of things we just don't know. He wants us to reveal those things as much as we can comprehend. God has done his work through you. His disciples were his friends, and they obeyed his commands. And he shared everything with them that God shared with them. Jesus' commandments was love. He taught obedience to God's command is a natural result of loving God. Listen, Matthew 22:36 tells us to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. I want to tell you something, probably the most important part of this sermon. Obedience to God's command is not blind duty or legalism. It's a way to show love for God and to respond to his love for us. You see, if we think we're fulfilling a duty by obeying his commands, or if we look at it as a legalistic thing, like we got to do this, we're no better than Pharisees, Sadducees, and all those who touts about what all they had done. That we've earned this way to heaven with our prayer beads and stuff because this is what all we have done. It's not your duty that you're here today. It's because you love God the reason you're here today. We come to Jesus because of love. That was his commandments. That was his most important commandment, remember? Love your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And after this, love your neighbor. And who is your neighbor? You're my neighbors. I don't live next to none of you. But look, that you're my neighbors. And I have a lot of neighbors. And you have a lot of neighbors. You see, in the Bible, we know there were many judges. And there was many, many kings. Today in the United States, all the states, we've had many governors and we've had many presidents. And we have many sheriffs, and we've had many presidents of the police jury and police chairmen and mayors. All of them has served their terms and went away, and then someone else has took their place. And that's a natural way of life, and that's good. Some of you has been teachers, and you're still, some of you may still be teachers, and some of you retired, and someone come along and took your place. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Like the song says, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God sent us a king. His name is Jesus. He was our wonderful counselor, and he was our Prince of Peace. He was the Lion of Judah, and he was the Lamb that was slain. He was Hosanna. He is Hosanna. He is the Most High. He is our Savior. You see, Jesus is our eternal King. He's not there for a term. He's not there for a few years. He's going to be there for eternity. His term will never expire because he doesn't have one. He will always be there. And one day, he's coming to get us. He's going to come in the clouds. And he's coming to get us to be with him. He'll take us away in the clouds, and when it's time, we're going to spend eternity with him in the New Jerusalem. Because you see, the old order of things have all passed away. Everything we like right now, everything we don't like, it's all going to be gone. Because there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. God can do that because he's God. But I repeat, but I said a while ago that this was the most important part of my sermon, that Jesus' command was love. I guess another most important part, I guess there's two most important parts. There's only going to be believers there. This is very important for you to know, and you pass on, as you know already, most of you know already. There's going to be believers of their own free will. Exactly according to God's plan. Because there can't be unbelievers in heaven. The unbelievers are following Satan, although they don't know it. So you can't be in heaven and not believe in God and that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Because Jesus Christ plainly said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to me. Come to God, come to heaven except through me. Narrow is the gate, and difficult is the path that leads to heaven, and wide is the gate, and easy is the path that leads to destruction. I love to preach a feel-good sermon, but you got to preach the truth also. Believers, I wish everyone was going to heaven, but they're not. Believers are not holier than thou. They're just sinners saved by grace, not by merit, not by something they did. We aren't getting what we deserved. We aren't getting salvation because we earned it. We're getting salvation because of Jesus' sacrifice, if we accept that gift. When it comes Christmas time, somebody can hold a present out to you all day long Christmas Day. But unless you receive that present, it never becomes yours. So you have to receive that present that Jesus Christ has given you. How about you today? Have you accepted Christ? Have you made the most important decision? It's the most important one you'll ever make if you hadn't made it. Today is the day of your salvation, the Bible says. Don't put it off for one second. I cut it off a little bit short today because some of you may want to talk amongst each other about the decision before you. So I want to give you a little bit of time, and you'll have time through the week with the phone calls and communication. Can we have a song of invitation? Just say just one verse. So like I said last week, if you're going to come, come quick, fast, and in a hurry.